LRP project, and is also being leveraged by some federal funds. The rest of that particular area will be done under 411. Moving down to the very southwest, we've got a lot of work right along the city south boundary there, Los Reales to Valencia, from the Old Nogales Highway, basically almost to Interstate 19. We're doing work in here. This area in here has already been reconstructed with a prior campaign and will be sealed. And then we have the Bilby Road project, which is again one of the safety projects. That's a reconstruction, as well as Elvira Road, just to the west of the airport here, or east of the airport rather. And then finally, the southeast side. Southeast is mostly preservation, although we do have some work. Actually, just seeing it's kind of hidden behind my share screen bar here, but there is some work just south of Golf Links, and as well as north of Golf Links, that I didn't call out in the Julia Keene area. Again, most of this is preservation of streets that have been recently constructed. A lot of it constructed by developers. Again, even though it's development and relatively new streets, we need to keep them in good condition, or we go into the spiraling problems of the past, where we haven't kept up with maintenance at an early enough point to keep them from being very expensive repairs. So that is my presentation, and be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, we have a first question. If you could just give a recap of the legend.
Oh, I'm sorry. The legend,
Colors.
we have anything that was in a purple shade is resurfacing, and that is basically less aggressive than a full reconstruction, but could be milling out up to 1.5 inches or 2 inches of asphalt and replacing it with new asphalt, or doing some combination of surface treatments. But it'll be more than a simple chip seal or a simple slurry seal. It'll be a compound product that will have more lifespan than the simple treatments that were used in the past. The green represents basically a sealing or a preservation treatment. Could be a fog seal, it could be a little bit, could be as much as a slurry. Anything that was hatched is, or has the diagonal hatching on it, is work that was done under prior campaigns, either the 101, the LLRP, or other funds that were directed to residential streets. And then the red line, anything that's red or rose colored is reconstruction. So hopefully that covers
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What did you say?
rose colored or red colored areas. If it's a rose colored neighborhood at block or a red colored line, those are reconstructed road areas.
Reconstructed, thank you.
Yeah, so that would be, down to the base and bring it up from there. So with
Okay,
that,
thanks.
I'll stop sharing screen unless people want to look at anything.
Anyone need to look again at any of the slides? Okay, questions or comments?
One thing I would add is that there was a great deal of interest on the part of the IOAC to begin having conversations with the CSCC. Liz, you might want to comment on that as well. I know you're our common denominator between the two commissions, or the commission and the council. There was a lot of interest in trying to understand what the priorities were for the Complete Streets Coordinating Council, so that they could anticipate things.
Thank you. Liz?
I'll just add there is interest. I think getting to serve on both has been, you know, obviously I'm learning a ton. And I also see a slight disconnection in terms of we're super focused in understanding of like complete streets policy and Move Tucson and how it informs a lot of our decisions. And with our oversight committee transitioning from 101 now to, you know, looking at all residential, I just think it makes sense to have that information and insight. And in times when we're going to come together, have to tag team, that there's also just a consensus and trust among the, you know, the decisions that we're making here on this council, and just a little collegiality. Cause you know, I think it would help personally. And folks would understand also on some of the decisions that we're making and putting forth in front of them as well.
Miranda, then Rhonda.
Yeah, I'm really curious about the ways in which we can kind of like put a structure or a practice into place to intentionally serve what Liz just talked about. And what are the ways that we can work together intentionally and like share information and just sort of be on the same page? Like, I don't know if that means attending each other's meetings or having a separate meeting that we both attend, or you know, maybe having a shared drive where we upload documents that we're talking about, or email updates. But that's where my mind is going, is kind of process.
Well, on speaking on my behalf, I think that's an excellent idea. I like the idea of having perhaps some liaisons. I mean, I think Liz is certainly a built-in liaison, but I would think that having perhaps another member or two participate and have it go both ways. It's a two-way street. Both the commission and the council should be interested in one another's activities. I know that there is an interest expressed in having some kind of a joint meeting just to get to know everybody. And so I think that would go a long way to trying to get people working together on the same page.
Brenda?
Yeah, I was just going to say that some of our minutes already sort of detail some of the work that we do here, and I didn't know if maybe that would be helpful to share those after each meeting. But just, yeah, thinking through like how we can help make sure that we understand each other's decisions. And, you know, our first year programming, that might be helpful to share with them, because we do share our perspectives and how we kind of shaped those. So that might be helpful to share with them if they haven't seen it.
You know, I appreciate that. We did share the first year program with them as we were making the ask for the pavement funding to complement the safety projects. The you know, one thing that might be worth considering is having each body have a standing meeting or a standing report on the activities of the other, and that way we could share explicitly the materials, you know, minutes from the other committee or commission. So yeah, I think that would be a good way to get that material flowing back and forth, so both the committee and, or the commission and the council are informed.
Very good. Good ideas. Anything else? Any other thoughts? And Patrick posted a link to the 411 projects in the chat.
Yep. So we're going to put this all under the Tucson Delivers umbrella. So it's one of the tabs on that page. So if you want to find the 407, the 409, the 101 projects, and now the 411 projects, it's all on that platform. We're just standing it up. I sent out a URL earlier today. The URL has subsequently changed. So this is now the right location where to find this. The project map I sent out will be posted here as well for a more interactive experience. On the 411 safety projects, the press release that Rhonda put together is posted there. So that will kind of be our clearinghouse going forward.
Okay, thank you so much, Jim.
My pleasure, thank you.
Excellent. Okay, let's move to the next topic, which is neighborhood safety program update. Gabriela?
Hi, everyone. I came to you, I think it was in December, and we were talking about the slow streets update and feeding into how we've thought about the lessons learned and how that could help inform a successful 411 neighborhood safety program. So I have 15 minutes. This is going to be brief. Just know that I'm going to come back in April, hopefully, or March, sorry, with a more in-depth discussion and with more information to share. So I'm going to share my screen. And so I'm going to go over these slides for about 5 minutes, and then we'll leave 10 minutes for discussion. That one's... Okay, so here we have, as I said, this will be just a brief 10-minute presentation. And
do you want to share your screen?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it says that it's...
Do you see a shared screen? No, I don't. Okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't press the final share button.
Yeah, it's good. That's a two-part thing.
That's a good one. Okay, let's see. Sorry, I'm so used to using Teams that I feel like my first time using Zoom. Okay, let's see. All right. Can you see that?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so a brief overview of this program. As you've seen, there's many different aspects to 411. So this is focusing on the neighborhood safety portion, which is 10% of the system-wide safety improvements, which total $45 million. So this neighborhood safety improvements are specific to traffic calming features, so such as traffic circles, chicanes, speed bumps, and other traffic calming elements that we'll go into. So this is just looking at local streets as the context. And this is a vision, this is a draft vision, and still definitely room for refinement, but this is the spirit of the program as it stands. So we're establishing an inclusive community-led process to deliver neighborhood safety improvements across the city, prioritizing under-resourced neighborhoods who could not otherwise fund their own traffic calming projects through the existing neighborhood traffic mitigation program. And so here's the funding breakdown. It comes out to around $450,000 per year, or $2.25 million over 5 years, or $4.5 million over 10 years. And these are some considerations that we're working through and that we'll get into more next month when we go and have a fully fleshed proposal for you. But some things that we're thinking of are impact over quantity. So encouraging larger scale neighborhood projects with higher spending limits versus more mini projects. One, it's easier on resources. So it requires, there will be more resources needed to manage 40 tiny projects versus 8 bigger projects. And then, so we're also exploring establishing minimum and maximum funding thresholds per projects, but this is all up for discussion. So what is traffic calming? Most of you already know this, but just to get the language consistent, a series of measures that can be taken to slow vehicle speeds or reduce volumes in order to improve safety, livability, and vitality on neighborhood streets. These measures can help to transform streets and aid in creating a sense of place for communities. What is possible? So, eligible traffic calming projects, this is all would include the following elements, and they're all taken from the Complete Streets Design Guideline. Curb extensions, chicanes, half or full street closures, traffic circles, diagonal diverters, chokers, median barrier and forced turn islands, speed humps, speed tables, raised crosswalks. And before you're like, ah, what is a diagonal diverter or choker? I have a picture coming. other traffic calming features that could be enhancements. So things that would work within those other features. So like, for example, adding GSI to chicanes would really be encouraged. And that's something that we want to flesh out more in the goals for the program, is making sure that we have one goal that gets to climate mitigation and looking at how can we really prioritize adding green infrastructure to these projects and making sure that we're allocating the resources that are needed to maintain those. And asphalt art in specific features such as traffic circles or curb extensions. So this is just a sample visual that I made a long time ago for the neighborhood traffic mitigation program. So we would create something like this specific for 411 with more precise cost estimates based on current bids that we're getting. And this is so the menu of options that we would be sharing with the public and having as a visual aid. And these cost estimates, as we said, these are just examples, will really help in building capacity for folks to create their own budgets. So items that are not included within the scope of this project: single traffic calming features. This is what we're proposing. So no one-off speed humps. And in addition, law enforcement. So in relation to speed, so there'd be no involvement with law enforcement. Those are requests that we get quite often, you know, like, why don't we get a police officer on that corner and ticket people? Can't do that with this program. And as we've heard from you all and the community, equity is front and center for this program. So we're currently working with the Office of Equity at the City of Tucson to come up with more specific recommendations on the methodology and how do we use demographic data, specifically disaggregated data that looks at race and other very important demographics in helping to create a scorecard or prioritization like rubric that will help you all and staff make the best decisions. So this is looking at this will be looking at crash history, lack of traffic calming infrastructure, and equity factors. There's also been early discussions about having like a money earmarked to help meet local equity goals. So for example, 60% or more of the total funding will go to these equity areas that are prioritized based on the map. And all those numbers are very preliminary and up for discussion, but that's just an example of a goal that we can establish to make sure that we are being accountable to this process and not just saying we want to do this equitably, but actually spending the resources accordingly. And as I said, it's data-driven. We'll identify which Tucson communities are or historically have been underserved in order to direct funding towards those projects. And here's just an image of the Move Tucson Equity Map, which you're all very familiar with. Here's a very high-level timeline that I'm proposing up for discussion. And I put the orange text is where you would come in as far as your involvement. And so this is currently the planning phase, which I anticipate being through the end of March. And it will also, some important steps that staff will be undertaking is procurement. So making sure that we're getting the necessary consultants or community-based organizations on board in order to deliver this in the best way possible. And just getting more resources, because we will need to probably hire a couple of project managers on the engineering side and planning as well. So then at the end of March, my hope is that you all would approve a process. And in April, May, this would be an idea collection and proposal development phase. And it's kind of taking from the work of participatory budgeting, where we're going out to the community, meeting them where we're at, telling them about this program. So having a few info sessions at parks and other public spaces and getting ideas, because we know that not everybody is really equipped or has the time to complete like a proposal, a complex project proposal to the scale of like a $100,000 project. So we want to really provide technical assistance and break this down as much as possible during that time period to assist people in creating proposals. Then in August would be a review and scoring of proposals and implementation, potentially in September, which would be the design and construction, and then evaluation, something that we often aren't able to do for city projects, but I believe it's really important. And this will allow us to fine tune things that could have been better, what worked, and then refine the process as we go into the next funding cycle. A couple other recommendations that we have based on research is that the proposals will be accepted on a rolling basis. We've heard from the GSI mini grant program that that was a huge lesson learned for them, that having a hard cutoff of, you know, proposal deadline is really doesn't line up with equity goals of making sure that this is accessible to folks that aren't used to putting together these proposals or have the luxury to think about traffic calming. So having it be a rolling basis is really critical. And we're proposing to evaluate them once a year. And as I said, establish some parameters of, we want this to be roughly, you know, at least a $25,000 project up to $100,000. And then this is something that I'm still researching and would love more feedback on in the coming months, but how do we take lessons learned from participatory budgeting processes and adapt it to this? And have yet to see this done at a like citywide scale, but I'm going to continue to talk to colleagues, and it is interesting to see that Ward 1 is doing this for, you know, just one ward. So I think it is possible. And now discussion. So we can, I'll leave it here. I'll open it up to you all, yeah, for questions and just general discussion.
Okay, first thing is, does anyone want to see any of the slides again? And if not, you can go ahead and unshare your screen for now. Okay, questions or comments? Rhonda.
Thanks, Gabriella. Thanks for the presentation. I really like the focus on equity, and I'm going to be interested in seeing the presentation that you bring back. I came to this committee because of my role in the Neighborhood Association. So I know that it is hard to manage a lot of small projects, but a lot of those can be really impactful for smaller areas. So I'm just really torn when I hear, you know, 8 big projects compared to things that could be more sprinkled across the city. So just wanted to mention that.
Thanks, Rhonda. And I guess I should use different language, and like larger scale projects could be like multi-million dollar projects. So like if that's where we could really lean on your recommendations for establishing a minimum, because if you think of a like $25,000 minimum, that's still a really pretty small project. It could be one or two landscape traffic circles, and that's where we need to get current costs for those. But if, yeah, they are really, you know, all GSI features, and it could really just be one or two, but more, you know, comprehensive traffic calming with GSI. But thank you for your comment.
Miranda?
Thanks for the presentation. I'm really excited with what you've come up with so far and really excited to see what you come back with in March. Thinking about participatory budgeting, because I am also just really excited by the potential of that idea. And I think a couple years ago, there was some kind of a pilot where we had the opportunity as community members to fill out a proposed budget. And I remember not really being clear on where the information was going or how it was being used. And I also remember feeling pretty overwhelmed by the amount of information I had to consider when I was making my own recommendations. So I guess all of that is to say, I think one thing I'm thinking ahead to in trying to sort of take that approach and apply it to something like this is the learning curve of like community members getting up to speed about what exactly their recommendations mean. And just like that sort of basic level awareness of like how it all works. Cause I could easily see it being overwhelming and hard for especially community members who don't traditionally participate in these spaces to be active in, even though they're the people we need to hear from the most.
Thanks, Brenda. That's a really good like risk to keep in mind that we would need to, if we're, you know, adding more of that participatory element to have resources allocated for to bring people up to speed.
Other comments or questions?
Sorry, I didn't put my digital hand up. I know one thing I've appreciated just learning with Patrick is the starting point sometimes in the past where like whenever we started in last year, I came in a little bit late, but Patrick would bring in sort of here's like what the plan looks like, here's how different projects might fit into it. So I don't know if there's any proactive work your team could do that might like help with what Miranda's talking about. Like it can be kind of overwhelming in the beginning, but like how does some of these features and projects fit into, I don't know, like the bigger picture. I don't know.
Do you think it would be helpful to have in that communication once this goes live to the public, have like example projects of how these different traffic calming features can fit together, like on a block, one block scale or two blocks? And
I don't know, like on the west side here, an example is Barrio Hollywood. There's a possible, I don't know, maybe this is funded separately, Patrick, and this is where it gets tricky to figure out all the different funding sources, but they're talking about a bike boulevard in that area. So, you know, people may not want to propose projects if it's already a funded bike boulevard. You know, they might want to look at a different part of their neighborhood or vice versa. They might want to look at how do we enhance this bike boulevard, for example. So just a way of like for specific areas to see how Move Tucson plans are already in the works. So they're not just like, you know, starting from a total point zero, you know?
Yeah, like spinning their wheels when actually there is something already in development.
Yeah, I don't know what that would mean for you all, but if there was like community outreach and engagement, that might help to just show some possibilities, not to try to pin people in or steer them towards something they might not want, but it can be overwhelming, I think, for even people who pay attention to it all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ruth? To follow on the comments, one suggestion, because it's happened in my neighborhood, is that to look where there's new development and they're building buildings with that are bringing a lot of people into neighborhoods that weren't there before. And so we had a lot of concern in my neighborhood that there would be a lot more through traffic and additional traffic that's not easily accommodated on the current residential streets. And so I think we got money from Ward 6 for chicanes around that new development that's not happening. So that's kind of one of those things. But to follow
those kind of places, when they build big apartment buildings or something, that will bring in additional traffic, maybe as being more proactive on and being able to plan farther into the future.
Thanks, Ruth. So you're saying, like, sometimes I'm hearing that some people that are very engaged with their neighborhoods might be aware of those development. Development projects, but not everybody. So how can we help folks know, like, what's coming? Is that sort of what you're saying?
Well, plan for it so that the streets can accommodate additional traffic when those buildings are built. And when you put in 100 apartments, then there's 100 new cars coming and leaving that area. And we knew because the developer came in and grazed the lot and just flattened it out. So, but those kind of things have to get permits. And so, you know, in advance where they're building, but it brings in, I mean, like the Benedictine brings in a whole lot of cars. And I know the neighborhood was concerned about all the additional traffic in their neighborhood from that apartment development. So that's the place where you might need, you can pre-plan and you could build in directional things and guide traffic maybe away from residential streets or slow people down before, you know, they start zipping through the neighborhoods.
Sure. Yeah. That's the art of this, is like, do we have it more if it's a top-down program where staff are identifying locations and based on, you know, different projects that we know are coming, then like that would be staff recommending projects? Or is it the community guiding, like, hey, this is where our concerns are, and then staff responding it? Or sort of a hybrid where, like, we're ready to provide those resources to folks. And, you know, that's part of the review process, but like, we're really hoping that the ideas come from the community. Thanks for bringing that up. That's definitely, we hear that a lot with traffic calming needs with the NTMP programs, increase in volumes from development projects.
Great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that's what's really cool about this small slice of 411 is that a lot of it, as you mentioned earlier, Ruth, is us, you know, looking at the numbers, looking to execute on on Move Tucson and advance those goals and those projects, which were largely focused on our larger streets, larger projects. You know, this is a small part of 411, but it's going to be hugely impactful. And it's really important that it's really the community, the neighborhoods kind of defining those projects for themselves, particularly where there's that gap where we just get so many requests coming in for people who want to participate in the NTMP program, but that cost to participate is a huge barrier for a lot of neighborhoods. And this really addresses that question directly. So I think it's going to be a hugely popular program. And if the neighborhoods, you know, see it as the need that they want to respond to development, and that's what the kind of the package that they would like to put together in the application, then that's kind of the neighborhood discretion and a decision that's happening at that neighborhood scale. So I think it's, yeah, pretty exciting to get this moving, and yeah, awesome what Gabriella pulled together.
Yes, excellent. So there's one last question. Evren is asking, did I understand it correctly that you're looking at a different equity analysis to help facilitate project prioritization instead of using the equity analysis that was done in Move Tucson? If that's the case, why did the city decide to go that route for this portion of 411 projects?
So right now we're consulting with the Office of Equity and meeting next week to look at, like, okay, this is the data that we have, one being the Move Tucson equity data that's now on Map Tucson, and what's missing and what would their recommendations be for, like, a methodology for what, you know, what other data do we bring in, if any, to get a more complete picture of where the needs are greatest to help with the decision making, if that makes sense. So, but the Move Tucson equity analysis is a great start. We just want to make sure that it is the most current. And now we have this amazing, they're framing it as they're like in-house consultants for city projects. So it's a great resource to tap into, and we can maybe even expand.
Excellent. Ruth?
Can this money be used for beautification of existing traffic circles?
That's a really good question. I think we need to get a legal opinion on that, because it's something that we thought of in our internal meetings. It's like, can we enhance existing features, or is this more for new? So I'm not 100% sure. Great question.
Can you tell me what NTSB is?
And what?
You're using this acronym NTSB or something. I don't know.
NTMP, Neighborhood Traffic Mitigation Program. That's where you people can apply for different traffic calming features, but it's to the cost of the neighborhood.
Okay.
Jennifer.
I have to find my microphone. And let me put my hand down. Okay. Just from an equity standpoint, it seems to me that the neighborhood associations are already winners, and those neighborhoods that are not organized would not be. So that's just something I'm thinking about. How would that be addressed? Because there are some places in Ward 3 that I'm thinking of, in the 05 that I'm thinking of, that where there is no neighborhood association, or there's not somebody that has that vision yet that's what I'm wondering about. So
that's such a great question. So that is one aspect of the eligibility that we're very clear on for the call for applications, is that you would not have to be part of a neighborhood association. You could be just any community member. You would just have to live in the city of Tucson, and you can organize your neighbors to get behind like your idea. So one track that I'm thinking of is that in the initial application, which is going to be like as easy as possible, you know, to keep it inclusive, would be that you would list three people in your neighborhood that would like to be involved in the planning for this and getting more neighborhood support. So it was really open to anyone.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Catherine?
Hi. Sorry I'm not on video. I'm walking our very anxious dog. but thank you so much for such a wonderful presentation. I just wanted to express a gratitude and appreciation for how thoughtful you are in this process, and kind of to echo what others said, but also what Patrick mentioned in terms of this being 411 funding and small grants. I think we do have an opportunity, I think, as a committee to, I don't want to say innovative, because these are things that should be done right in terms of accessibility, but I'd be really curious to follow along, see you to come back next month with that, but I wanted to add in terms of accessibility on the other end too, and if you're thinking about reporting requirements, and because that can be something that can prevent folks from considering applying, what you'll be asking for once their project is approved. So thinking on the other end as well. And I'd be happy to chat with you about that.
Wonderful. And, thank you, Catherine. Oh, did you
have something? Oh no, I just so just mostly that I just wanted to express appreciation. I'm really excited for this program, and I think I guess my general question to the group is how flexible, and maybe this is for Patrick, how flexible are we able to be in terms of sort of testing things out and really on a city scale, like you said, with the participatory budgeting. How much room do we have to sort of try things out and use, and also valuing folks' time too, those who are preparing the applications, but also the time of staff. And I appreciate what you mentioned about technical assistance, and I'm wondering if that also involves even having staff or community members review the applications before submitting. So the kind of like what Riley was talking about, projects that may already be funded, right? So before they submit, making sure it is a project that isn't already dedicated to be constructed or designed. So just thinking of time.
Really good points. Thank you, Catherine. I hadn't started to think about the reporting requirements yet, but I appreciate the
thanks
all of your insights.
And Gabriela, Colleen is taking detailed notes, which you'll get in case you can capture all these comments. Anyone else?
Selena had a comment in the chat.
Oh, Selena.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Kind of going on the other question with equity, you know, if a neighborhood isn't as organized for whatever reason, would small business owners or other stakeholders like school sites or, you know, organizations, churches, would they be eligible to apply to something like this?
Mm. Yeah.
Great presentation, by the way, too.
Thanks, Selena. I don't see why not, because small businesses are made up of individuals, right? And the residents, as long as it's in the city boundaries, that is what we are confined to, right, for this. But I think that's a really good point, and we could build that into, it doesn't have to be just an individual, but you're saying like faith-based organizations or small businesses, can they kind of like sponsor these projects? Yeah, that's a great point.
Catherine, did you have something else, or is your hand just still raised?
Oh, no, I'll put that down. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, great discussion and really good comments and questions. Any wrap-up comment from you, Patrick?
No, thank you so much, Gabriela. That was fantastic. So we just wanted to show you that, you know, we're making progress on that. And I think we're going to be prepared to come back next month with a fully kind of fleshed out proposal for you all to digest and weigh in on. And again, I think some of the restrictions on the funding are fairly set, but the process by which we distribute it is wide open and really going to be, I think, a dialogue between, you know, city staff and all of you, how we want to approach it. So I think to Catherine's point, there is some space for experimentation in that piece of it. So we're really excited and looking forward to kind of getting this out and experimenting. And thank you so much for the great discussion. And thank you, Gabriela.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Patrick, would you like to do the brief comments about the annual report?
I am happy to, and I'd also open it up to the chairs. Just, I think go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So as a BCC, we're required to submit an annual report every year and perhaps have been a little negligent in those responsibililities over the past 2 years. It's a mea culpa, totally my fault on that. But basically, it's just capturing kind of the efforts, the accomplishments, and things that the committee wants to celebrate about itself and communicate about itself out to that annual summary report. So I think we just wanted to open the floor for this agenda item, and I can turn to Miranda and Rhonda as well, to see if there's any comments that you all would kind of like to see captured, how you want to see the committee present itself back through that kind of documentation.
thanks, Patrick. My first question is there any kind of like form or template or criteria about what exactly needs to be included in this report?
There are a couple items, and I think we took a look at the template last time. So it's basically any meetings that you didn't meet quorum, what your regular meeting dates are, major legal actions taken by the committee, and any other things that you kind of want to express as accomplishments.
So light. Rhonda?
So I'm happy to take a shot at drafting something. It looked like some of the other committees, like the BAC, had members listed, as Patrick noted, like, when do you meet? What is your vision? how do you make your funding decisions? Some of it, you know, obviously we can share what we did last year. So we just wanted to check and see. I'll be bringing a draft back to the group, unless someone else wants to draft it, and then I'm happy to pass that along. But wanted to see before I started writing, or whoever starts writing, if anyone has any priorities they want to highlight or anything that they really want to see in there.
Thanks for offering to help, Rhonda. I'm happy to tag team that with you.
Doesn't staff write this? I'm sorry. Patrick, isn't this a staff thing?
I think it's customary for the chairs to typically pull this together.
Oh, okay.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, I'll be available to support, and I can put together some of
that. Wow. I'm grateful I never did it then. I was chair a lot and never had to do it.
You timed that well, Ruth.
Wow. Lucky me.
We're growing up as a committee. We're getting there.
So thank you, Rhonda and Miranda. Okay, anything else on the annual report?
Well, can I throw out one thing that I'd like to see included is that as a council, we took a role in advocating for First Avenue and took a public, you know, we submitted a column for the paper. Miranda did call to the audience for the RTA board. So I would like to see that included.
Okay. All right, we're a few minutes behind, but we'll make it up in the remaining items. Do you all need a 5-minute break, or are you good?
I'm good.
Shake your head if you want to just keep going. We're on the home stretch. We have 30 minutes, so let's just keep going. Okay, so the next topic is RTA Next. Paki?
Good evening, everyone. Nice to see everybody. So RTA Next has been pretty active. I don't think I've done an update yet this year, but back during the January meeting, the Citizens Advisory Committee, they did make a recommendation to move forward a list of named projects to the board. The board hasn't met yet. I believe they'll be meeting later next month. But in the meantime, the RTA Technical Management Committee is providing technical feedback on these named projects. So there's still this iterative process happening there. But now that the CAC put their list forward, now their focus has become the categoricals. And these are the remaining three elements that are part of the RTA plan. And they include transit, safety, and it's called economic and environmental and economic quality. I call it EEV, vitality. What they're doing right now is they're reviewing all of the elements and the sub-elements and discussing funding allocations. The RTA board did allocate certain amounts for each of the elements. So the CAC members are in the process of reviewing those allocations, learning more about each sub-element, and trying to figure out if they want to just keep those adopted sub-elements in the plan, make any revisions, remove any. So that's the process that they're going through right now. The one element that's pretty large, it's got a lot of wheels, if you will, is the transit element. It's pretty big. So for that reason, the CAC has formed a transit element subcommittee. And that transit element subcommittee has started to meet. They met earlier this month to, again, do the same things, start reviewing the allocations for transit, look at the sub-elements. One of the key features of the transit element is that it really has to relate to the long-range transit regional plan. So the subcommittee members are learning about the long-range transit plan while they're, you know, trying to also figure out the allocations for the transit element. So that's what we're in the process of doing right now in terms of RTA Next. The RTA Technical Management Committee will be meeting early next month. The CAC had their second meeting of the month this past Monday. And we're just gearing up for the Transit Subcommittee meeting next week. And every week there's a meeting, it seems like, with the RTA next. But we're moving slowly but surely. And the milestones that the RTA board provided us, we're still working off of those. The July 1st, 2023 date is still the set deadline for now. If anything changes, the board will let us know. So that's just a quick update on RTA Next activities. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions for Pucky? Ruth?
I've been following the CAC meetings, and this project list seems to be based on current costs for the projects. How are you all dealing with inflation? Because most of those projects won't be built for 5, 10, 15 years into the plan.
So the board allocated $1.1 billion for the name project list. So that is something that the CAC and the TMC are looking at right now to figure out, you know, how are these projects going to, how are they going to end up in 20 years? So it is something that they're trying to configure. The jurisdictions have been updating their cost estimates. You know, they're just trying to plan ahead. But to be honest with you, the name project list that's been moved forward, it's a little over. It's at $1.4 billion right now. So we've got some $300 and some million to chop off of that list. The list of 37 projects at the moment. And the technical management committee is the one that's looking at it right now. They're in discussions about those kinds of things, Ruth, inflation, any other maybe local funds that they could contribute, impact fees, those kinds of things are what the local jurisdictions are looking at. And then they'll provide that feedback back to the CAC, and then the CAC can say, okay, this looks good. No matter what, the $1.1 billion list of projects is what has to move forward to the RTA board. Not more than that. So we're still in that process. But for right now, while the TMC is reviewing the list, the CAC is moving forward with the categoricals. But yeah, that's a big consideration. It's just, it's really the jurisdiction's project. So they're trying to see what they can do.
Because I haven't seen it even mentioned. I mean, you said there was like $1.4 billion project now, and that's on 2023 costs. So there's no inflation, no allowance for inflation, because you're including projects up to the maximum of the budget. And so I haven't heard the word mentioned. I haven't heard it considered as far as adjusting the costs for various periods and when they'll be built. I mean, to me, that's why RTA 1 has run out of money, is not the Great Recession, but inflation costs have eaten away and everything's at $2,006. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to not incorporate that. But it will reduce the number of projects. So you can't do 37 projects if you look at inflation. So it's a challenge, and I hope it's talked about and built into the plan.
Well, and keep in mind that the inflation, that area of the plan is not under the purview of the CAC. It's been brought up, but at the end of the day, our governing board really has to make those decisions.
Any other questions for Pucky? Okay. Thank you, Pucky. So let's move into our CSCC hub with a couple minutes.
On, if I can put in a plug, just a reminder that on Monday, if anybody's interested, the RTA CSCC subcommittee will be meeting. We've got a group of five, but there's still seats if anybody would like to join us Monday at 5 and talking about how to engage as this body with the CAC, with the RTA process, running it through mayor council or exploring all those strategies.
Okay. That's right. Thanks. Okay, so CSCC Hub, starting with Park Tucson. Jill.
We're meeting next week because
you know, the months are different. So we haven't met since our last meeting. So nothing.
Okay. Pedestrian Advisory Committee, Tariq. Is Tariq, he was here. I guess gone. Anything you want to add or anyone else involved in that, in the PAC? Okay. Patrick?
I just know that they remain on hold. They are kind of permanently without quorum at the moment. So they haven't met in like 2 years.
As opposed to you guys, and we've never missed a meeting for quorum. So kudos to you. Transit Task Force, Riley.
Well, we were supposed to have a tour on February 13th along the proposed Norte Sur bus rapid transit potential corridors. And there was a snafu with the posting. It didn't get posted. And Eric Lotto, who coordinates it, didn't know and had to cancel last minute. So, yeah, we didn't have a meeting, unfortunately. We didn't have the tour. So nothing to report because of that.
Okay. That's too bad. Bicycle Advisory Committee, Sophia.
Yeah, so thanks, Patrick, for including that document that got attached to the email. That document was used to have more discussion with Andy Bemis and then Felipe from Kittleson and Associates. So the conversation was largely similar to the one that we had here for the BAC. We have somebody who is a traffic engineer, so who's also a bicycle advocate. So that's really a great person to have on board, someone to read the 500 plus pages of content that I myself probably will never read. So it's good to have somebody like that on the BAC. The comments that you'll see on the second page of the document that was provided was provided by Mike. And also, you know, Mike has a sense for kind of what data to bring forth to present. So what we identified in the BAC was that the traffic study that was used to then analyze 5th and 6th Street is really missing critical importance placed on vehicle collisions and addressing speeding as a concern to the safety of Tucsonans. So we used the document and we used what's going on with 5th and 6th Street to really advocate for a new traffic study. It's interesting to see Gabriela, who, you know, gave a presentation where it's very focused on the pedestrian or the bicycle experience. But then we have our traffic studies that are, you know, kind of antiquated in terms of treating safety issues seriously. So it was, you know, a drop in the bucket with a long journey of really trying to update all of those processes and those studies. And then separately, we're also doing our annual report. So we use that as an opportunity to really talk about what do we want to get done in a year besides, you know, making comments on loop connections. So I think we're off to a good start for the beginning of the year. And yeah, I think it'll be, it's looking good for more collaboration on just what's going on with 411. And if anyone has any questions on the documents, there's some, I can fill in the gaps on some of those things.
Questions for any of the committees? And we have the, Cody is not a, here, there's no representative still. Yes, Riley.
I just wanted to say that, Sophia, that's really awesome that you did that. I don't totally grasp what kind of impact that might have, or is there going to be some, like, will the city kind of decide if they would do a new study and focus on some of this, or what's next?
Yeah, so the BAC sent a letter, and then we had a meeting set up and we were wanting to meet with Credio from the we were wanting to meet with the transportation director. He did not make it to the meeting. He sent Andy Bemis instead. And so Andy was passing along a lot of the information to the transportation department team. As in terms of a response that we can expect, nothing was said.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, Catherine.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment for the transit committee. I just wanted to say kudos to the SunTrans staff and City of Tucson staff on the COA, the Comprehensive Operational Analysis. I know how huge of a lift that is, and it does impact route changes. They do reference that over the years. And then also just to bring attention to the fare free transit push and recent public opinion piece by Damian Klinko. Although reasons other than what he stated, I support fare free transit, but just wanted to bring that to light. Thanks.
Excellent. Okay. Anything else? So we're going to move to...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Catherine just reminded me of something that I completely forgot to mention that's important for the CAC Transit Element Subcommittee. We have invited all of the regional transit working group members throughout the region, which includes all of the jurisdictional transit working group members. And that's been really, really important because they're giving us that feedback. I apologize for mentioning that. I had it on my note. I put TWG and I just skipped right over it. But yeah, all the transit working group members from all the regions, including obviously the city, are attending and providing a lot of great feedback to the CAC. So just wanted to get that in there. Thank you.
Thanks for remembering, Bucky. All right. The next topic is retreat planning. And I think it's the co-chairs that are going to kick this off. Right, Patrick? Yes, go for it. Or you start, Patrick.
We have the retreat on the agenda. Thank you, everyone who provided their availability. So we just carved out an afternoon on April 22nd. I sent out the meeting invitation earlier this week. It doesn't mean we're looking to take all of your Saturday afternoon with the retreat, just kind of a save the date, carve out the time. We're probably going to shorten that up and find a tighter window within that. But just wanted to make sure, since it's a Saturday, we could get that established on people's calendars. And I think the idea here is just kind of like Sophia mentioned for what the BAC is talking about for the coming years, kind of having an opportunity to pause and take stock of where we are as a committee, some of the things we think that are working mm-hmm. well, some of the things that we would like to improve on, maybe the way that the structures of these meetings are operating, some of the things that this committee would like to engage in, different ways of approaching agenda items, and thinking kind of longer term where this body wants to take itself and how we as staff can support that as well as the facilitation team. So, I think we can just open it up for some general comments at this point. We'll be working closely with the chairs to put that agenda together and kind of nail that down in the next couple weeks to month or so. But we open the floor if anybody has any comments at this point.
Where are you thinking of holding it?
We're looking, and Rhonda, Miranda, feel free to jump in on any of these as well. To be determined, but we would like to do a more casual outdoor space, I think, is the goal, and have kind of an opportunity for in-person interaction, something where I can be a little bit more comfortable and kind of informal space. But I don't think we've identified a location yet.
But do you have some suggestions?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was part of why we wanted to bring it to the group, to just open it up and see if people had other ideas. One of the places I thought of was Washington Street, where Sarah's and La Cocina are kind of across the street from each other, because it's a street that was successfully closed to cars in that little block stretch. Everything Patrick said, but like, hopefully that this retreat doesn't feel like an extended CSCC meeting, like ideally not feeling like work while still engaging with these important topics and thinking about short-term versus long-term goals and maybe sharpening our focus and like what we are hoping to accomplish in the next year or so.
Okay,
here's a quick poll.
Morning, afternoon, or either? Because Grecia asked. Do you see that? And then you can ask your question or make your comment, Catherine. Okay. 11 of 19. Well, good thing, because Patrick sent it for afternoon already, and you all say afternoon or either. So there you go. Gracia, there's your answer. All right. Catherine, did you have a comment?
Yeah, the poll went away for me, but I think I'm available up until 4. But I wanted to say one of the topics is maybe, and this could help with sort of brainstorming, which is for me easier to do in person as a group. Maybe we talk about doing in-person meetings maybe once a quarter. We get together. I know Zoom, we're in year 3 now and everyone's used to Zoom, but also sick of Zoom. But it might, you know, for us to get to know one another and brainstorm in person might be helpful. So that's something I'd like to talk about. And I like the Washington Street idea, maybe even inside La Casina there for lunch.
Lunch is the most important part.
And given the discussion this evening about the 411 Commission, I don't know the acronym for that committee, that should definitely be on the agenda of how we want to interact with that commission, and maybe even invite some of the commission to attend part of the retreat.
Jim gives a thumbs up on that idea. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like an overview will be nice, like what we've been seeing, different parts of the city who are more, I guess, they're more walkable minded, and then we have different parts of the city that are less so. And so understanding just like all of the moving parts, I think would be really helpful so that we can then identify what are we really trying to advocate and not lobby, because I know that we're not allowed to do that, but what are we able to advocate for this year in terms of, you know, community engagement? Do we just take everyone's voice equally, or do we weight it based off of who we've listened to predominantly and historically? So that would be helpful.
Got that? Jennifer.
I just think a review of what CSCC means and why it exists. Just to talk about what we're supposed to be doing here and what was happening before this happened, just to get a little historical context, because some of us came in after this council was formed. So just to maybe a quick, I don't know if it could be done quickly, but just thinking about that.
Easily.
Thank you, Maria. I saw that. Thanks. Okay, good.
And to note that presumably this would take the place of the April meeting, which would be within a week of this date. And should I, what about the lunch in terms of just buying lunch together versus bringing in your own picnic lunch? Is there any preference on that? So maybe we can, the co-chairs, facilitation team, and Patrick, we can come up with a proposed plan
and then share it, and then you can respond more specifically. Jennifer, is your hand up newly or still from the before? Okay. Anything else? Okay, so wrap up, next steps, future agenda items. Patrick, you had a DTM staff update.
Yeah, nothing specific kind of pressing happening right now. Just, you know, I think we've delivered a number of projects recently. We've got more on the horizon. It's going to be an extremely busy year. So that first phase of Downtown Links just opened. Broadway just opened. We've opened 7 bike boulevards in the last couple of months, which is a huge success after having, 2 bike boulevards for 15 years. We now drop 7 in within a month of each other. In the next year, we have quite an ambitious undertaking. I believe there's something, $400 million of projects we're kind of looking down the barrel of right at the moment. It's just a lot of activity and a lot of excitement, I think. And 411 is certainly part of that in the mix. So there's a lot happening. We've brought the consultant team on board for Bilby. So we are starting that design now. We're locked in on that. We're going to be starting on the Drexel Bridge. There will be an exciting announcement coming out that I can't quite spoil yet on another federal grant that we were able to secure. So that's very cool. 22nd Street Bridge now, we've shifted all the funding, fully funded and able to move that forward. So kind of light on specifics, but big on ambition is where we are tonight. But there'll be lots coming.
Wow, that's a good way to end this meeting. So that's great. Any questions for Patrick about DTM staffing, et cetera? So let's just think future agenda items, thinking mostly about March, the March meeting. Is there any specific items that you guys think would be important to include on the agenda?
And Tanya, before we leave this item, just to mention, so wasn't great tonight. I get that this particular day, but we're looking to get this as a standing agenda item for just kind of standard DTM updates, because it seems like some of the information can be siloed from time to time. I get some stuff out to you folks. People bring different bits of information. So I just like to have a standing item where we can, provide some generalized kind of transportation updates for all the activity that we have happening in the city, in case, you come across people and they're asking you what's going on with all of that. So anytime between now and the next meeting, if you want to send me an email, just if you have specific questions about projects, we can kind of add that to this piece of the announcement.
Thanks, Patrick. So again, any thoughts about next March meeting specifically, Rhonda, then Liz?
I was just going to say that, Patrick, on the DTM update, might be nice is just to get some more context. Tim Steller had a column about the pedestrian and cycling features being inadequate on the 22nd Street Bridge. So that would be helpful to get some more context around that.
Thanks. Liz?
Just don't want to lose sight in terms of the commission for 411 and just next steps. And then totally willing to brainstorm ideas with folks. And I know it'll be really great to brainstorm together when they come together, whether if that's like time at the retreat or however to brainstorm ideas together. So we both agree in terms of our groups on how we'd like to work together moving forward.
Do you guys ever want to have some kind of meeting where you invite the commissions, the hub groups beyond yourselves, and that where more of those related boards and commissions come all together? It just occurred to me, just a thought.
Yeah, when Liz was mentioning, how can we bring the commissions together? Do we go to each other's commissions? I feel like it'd be really nice for a couple of people to just brainstorm. That way, at our next meeting, then we can just use almost like a template or like a foundation for then everyone else to be stirred up in their imaginations, rather than just like, okay, we'll get to March and then, okay, now everyone give me your best ideas. So I'm not sure if there's a couple of folks who would want to like talk through what you're talking about, Tani, and then also just how we want to work specifically with that commission.
Should we take that up in the co-chair's facilitation meeting next meeting, or is there anyone else who would like to be part of thinking about this specifically? Or maybe the representatives of those four? Park Tucson, PAC, TTF, BAC. Liz? What is exactly the thumbs up for?
I will join to
be
the
part,
meeting.
Sorry, just I was like, do I raise my hand just to be part of?
Oh, you'll just join the meeting. Okay.
Yeah, I'm brainstorming. Yeah.
So Liz and Sophia and Jill. Tariq isn't here. We might drag Riley in. Okay. Sounds good. All right. 7:27. Any final comments from anyone? All right, you get to have 3 extra minutes. Add it to your evening. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you, Tani.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Good night. Thanks.
Thank you.